Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Bob Zimmerman. His book is Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. It is December of 1968. The mechanics of launch give them a six-day window. And what does that mean, Bob, six-day window?
It means they can launch within that six-day period and do their mission. The moon and the earth is in the same, is in the right position to do so. They were fortunate. There were no delays. They launched at the very first opening of the window and launched on December 21st on their way into Earth orbit. And then they spent about one full orbit in Earth orbit testing their systems out to make sure everything was working, because they didn't want to leave Earth orbit unless they knew everything was okay. And then once they had done that and they reached the point in the Earth orbit where it was time to fire the upper stage Saturn engines that would power them to the moon, they got the go-ahead from Capcom. That's the guy who talks to them from the ground. And in this case, it happened to be – it's always an astronaut. In this case, it happened to be Mike Collins, who was on the Apollo 11 mission that was to follow. And Mike Collins said to them, your go for TLI. TLI is translunar injection. That's the technical term they gave to that firing of that engine. So the astronauts fired the engine. And for the first time in all missions that had been sent with people into space, these guys were going somewhere. They suddenly were leaving Earth orbit at a very high speed, and they were going to another planet. They were not just going around the Earth. They were actually going to another place.
A few details, Bob. One, Saturn V gave them quite a ride when it took off. There was that vibration back and forth. They were being whipped around. Why did that happen?
Well, it didn't happen on the launch. They fixed that. That's a pogo effect. It has to do with resonances within the fuel tanks and within the rocket itself and the way the engines fire. It's complicated, but what they did is they put in baffles and ways to prevent the fuel from inside the tanks from vibrating a certain way, resonating. And so that problem didn't occur. And in fact, from what both Borman and Lovell told me, the launch of Saturn V was actually very smooth compared to the Titan rocket they used on Gemini 7. They said, that was, my God, that was a real ride. That was a missile, remember. But this was relatively smooth. It started slowly because it was so big, and it picked up speed at a steady pace. So for the men on board, it was not that uncomfortable. Believe it or not, when you watch the launch, it's pretty surprising, but that's what they said.
Let's put them in the capsule. Bob has photographs in his book, and you can look up other photographs to look at the instrument panel in front of them. The three astronauts are side by side by side, one in the middle and two angled towards the center. The instrument panel looks antique, Bob. There were no digital displays that I could tell.
Nope.
All switches. This is another age.
The analogy I make is very important one. If you own one of those cheap Casio, a lot of people don't own these anymore. People don't even use watches. They got smartphones. But if you owned a Casio digital watch that had like a little calculator on it, that computer is superior to the computer that was on Apollo 8. And so, yes, these guys had a very primitive system. To give you an example, when they needed to fire engines, the ground computers, the big ground computers, would do the calculations, and then they would dictate to the astronauts very, very a long string of numbers that would be entered into the computer on the Apollo 8 capsule. And so they'd read the numbers off, they'd write it down, and then they'd read the numbers back to confirm they had it right, and then they would have to manually enter those numbers to tell the computer what to do to fire the engine. Not to get any of this wrong, but just imagine having to do that multiple times. They always had a manual override, and in fact, Borman used it once or twice, once at least, when he wanted to be absolutely sure things would be right. But that's how primitive the computer systems were.
A discovery. They have windows, 2, 2, and 1 is my memory, so that each of them can look out. One is tasked to taking photographs, but they look out initially and they see Earth, which is fresh to humankind at this point. And Bob, One of them described, I can't remember which, it was like being in a tunnel and proceeding as the opening of the tunnel gets smaller and smaller. Who was that? Which one was that?
That was Jim Lovell. When they were leaving Earth orbit, they fire the engines, and they're leaving Earth orbit. At that moment in time, they're going the fastest they're going to go on their way to the moon. Because as they leave, their speed slows down because the Earth tries to pull them back. So at the very beginning, they're going 25,000 miles an hour. So within an hour, they pretty much travel 25,000 miles away from the Earth. And so the Earth is visibly shrinking as they look. And so during that period of time, Borman is command. He's dealing with making sure the capsule's oriented properly and flying properly. Anders is his co-pilot. He's helping him. So Lovell had the job of talking to the ground and describing to the world what these guys saw. And he pointed out how he could look at the Earth, saw it shrinking. He could put his thumb over the Earth and cover both the entire Atlantic. He could see Africa. He could see the North America. He could see South America. And as it shrunk very fast, he knows that it did because the sky is black. The eyes don't have the ability when the sun's out to see the stars, so it's a black sky. So all you could see was this Earth, blue and white and brown, shrinking very fast behind them. And within an hour, it shrunk to a very small size, like a pea. In 2 hours, it shrunk a lot less because the speed is slowing down, but that's what was going on. And they were leaving the Earth. They were leaving the only place they knew humans could survive, and they were traveling a very far distance away at that moment in time.
And the Russians, at this point, the space race is still on because the mission is not successful, but there's no Russian launch scheduled. There's no rumor of it. It disappears almost. Is that correct, Bob?
That, to a certain extent, is correct. We did not know they had this safety system where they were not going to launch people on their Zond until they had a successful mission. So we did not know that the Zond 6 mission was not 100% successful, which meant they had to cancel the December 5th manned mission around the moon. We didn't know that. So when December 5th rolled around prior to Apollo 8, nothing happened. And at that moment, we knew we were going to launch Apollo 8 before they did. Of course, we didn't know if we'd succeed, and they didn't know if we'd succeed. So they were still trying to gear up to try to match us with more Zond missions leading to a manned mission to follow.
The book is Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. We're going to the moon. Bob Zimmerman is the author. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.